Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ball hit deep. Way back. He looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Number 500 for Jim Tomey. A game winner here in the bottom of the night. Danny, the Sox win it 9-7. You're awesome, big man.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Boy, it's great to hear Haugh, especially calling highlights for Jim Tomey. That was a lot of fun. Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine here. Until 11 o'clock, talking baseball, and right now we're talking White Sox. Joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline is special assistant to the general manager for the White Sox, baseball legend Jim Tomey. Download the Circus Sports app today. Good morning, Jim. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well and enjoying this optimism of spring training. It's every year it gets you. Where are you right now, and what is your role this spring?
So my role has pretty much stayed the same, you know, just be around the team. You know, I work a little bit in the cage with the guys, with Marcus and Tozar, and just, you know, any of our players that want to talk hitting, and just be around really to offer some advice or, you know, great things that can help them as they approach the season, you know, and it's been a joy and a pleasure. I've done this since 2013, and every year I do this, I remember how much fun spring training was and what a joy it is to be here.
Jim, now with your son continuing his young career, once he continues to progress with that, are you still going to allow the flexibility to step away and have the role that you've had? Or because of the fact, you know, I know so many people in baseball know how much you bring to the table as far as baseball knowledge, as far as, you know, you're just, you know, you're so into each moment. How are you balancing all that? And what do you look for your future?
Well, for me, first of all, I thank the White Sox for giving me the opportunity to be around, you know, to be around the game that I loved playing for so many years, and then have the opportunity to really be home for this short period and watch my son, you know, just enjoy the game. You know, as you guys know, time goes so quick. You blink of an eye, they've grown, what you don't want to do is look back and wish you would have been there, you know, and I would say I try to balance it to the degree that, you know, just being in both places, but also really, really appreciating that the White Sox have given me that opportunity. Enjoy Landon's, you know, my family, being around Andrea and Lila has been, you know, as rewarding, and it's life is good for me. I feel very blessed, honored that I've been able to be in the game as long as I have, and, you know, things that I can share and pass on to young players and maybe help them in their career. And And also, Bruce, at the high school level, that is so rewarding when you tell a young kid something either about the game, about life, and then they can apply it and go on and have success is just awesome.
So, Jim, I thought it was very interesting. You mentioned your son, Landon, who I believe is a sophomore. And this past off season, I believe George Wolko, the seventh-round draft pick for the White Sox, big strapping guy, 6'7", going to be a power hitter. He's from Downers Grove North, I believe. But he worked out and hit with your son, and the way that he handled that responsibility or the way that he viewed it as a kind of a mentorship impressed you, and you developed a relationship with the young man that I think is interesting because of your connection to the Sox and obviously his role in the organization. Can you tell us about this winter, working with your son and what that meant to you?
Well, first of all, George is a wonderful kid. I mean, what an incredible talent, what a ton of ability. Had the opportunity, yes, to hit with George, and watching George from afar, just watching how, and not only with my son, but the kids that were around, it really shows, you know, that this kid has, his character is so great, and just passing the torch, right? Like, you come to spring training and you try to give advice. Well, George is doing that with the younger level as well, the high school kids. And by the way, he's not far removed from it. So it says a lot about his maturity, where he's at. We look forward to watching his, you know, the progression of his career and being there for me. I've had a chance to watch him a little bit. I know they're getting ready to start up here, but as this season goes on, we'll be paying close attention to George. And you can tell he's been well raised. His family has done a wonderful job with him. And he is physically, he looks the part. And not only that, but he also, when you watch him swing, he's got a beautiful swing. So we're excited about him.
Jim, if I've learned anything from you over the years, it's that the lower body helps generate power in a power hitter. And watching your swing, which hardly ever changed, and your approach hardly ever changed when you were healthy, that was obvious. When you look at Eloy Jimenez now, knowing he has had so many leg issues, how does he regain the power stroke? How does he find that ability now that he says his body is stronger, he's better? How is one coached to find and generate that power again?
Well, I think, first of all, watching here in spring training, Bruce, he's had incredible at-bats. He has made a few adjustments this spring. Marcus has done an incredible job with him. But he's also, his energy, just being around the dugout, this guy has great energy. He loves to play. And look, you know, when you play the game, things are going to happen. You're going to have little things that you go through, whether it's lower body injuries. And you know what? It might be for a year. It might be for 2 years that this stuff goes on. But I know this, when you have talent and you have great ability, like when you're healthy, you see results. And I think that's what we're seeing with Eloy, is that, you know, he is going to play a big part of the success that we have because he has the ability to hit in the middle of the lineup, and when healthy, he's as dangerous as any hitter in the American League.
Really can't argue with that. Talking with the great Jim Thome here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The trick with Eloy is just keeping him on the field and healthy. You're not a doctor, so I don't know how much you could help with that, Jim. But I am curious, your perspective, given your experience and your stature in the game, when you see a young prospect like Colson Montgomery, everybody's got their own idea about what is the ideal timetable. And none of us can really fully grasp exactly where he is and put a number on it, and boy, he could do this and that. What do you think the right plan for Colson Montgomery would be, and what do you see when you watch him this spring?
Well, I see amazing ability. I see the ability to catch the ball at shortstop, which is, let's face it, the most demanding with catcher, the big-time demanding position up the middle. And I think watching a young prospect grow, you have to just watch them. They will tell you when they're ready. And I think time, I think at-bats, and just the everyday, you know, grind of baseball will let you know. I know the organization is really excited about him. He's a wonderful kid being around him. He loves to play the game. He has a great ability to slow the game down and not speed it up. And when you have that ability and you get at bats, and then all of a sudden you look up and you go, he's starting to show us that he's ready, then that's when things get really exciting, because then there's that next phase of, okay, when you come to the major leagues, then how do I become a major league, big league player for a long time? And man, across the board, this guy's got great, just his overall skill set is exciting, and I think our fans should be excited about that.
Well, I'm going to ask you a loaded question, but you're used to those from me, and that is, do players now want to play every day like you did and a lot of your contemporaries? And am I just generalizing or painting with a broad brush, or does the modern player like 10 to 15 games off a year to just watch and, feel like they need days off? Is it a different era in player in Jim Tomei's mind?
I can't really specifically answer each individual, because I see guys that truly want to play every day. Let's face it, playing the game of baseball, I think, to be honest, Bruce, I think guys are hungry. They are. I do think guys get days off, whether that comes from, them being, say, a little hurt or what happened. That's part of the game. But individually, you have to want to play the game. And I see guys that do want to play the game. And then there are times that, guys get days off. So, look, I'm not in this to question whether players want to play, whether they don't want to play. That's got to come from within. Specifically, like as a player, you have to wake up every day and have passion to want to play the game every day. I can speak for myself and say, having a guy like Charlie Manuel that mentored us and taught us how to play every day. And I think that's the goal in every organization through the minor leagues, is getting players ready to go and be an everyday major league player. And with that, there are going to be some little nagging injuries that happen that sometimes you got to play, but you also have to be smart to the degree of speaking up and saying, hey, I have this. And then you come together as a unit and decide, okay, where are we headed, in which direction? But look, the game is great. You guys know the game is great. There's so many great players, so many athletic players. And, it's really, from my view watching it, it's fun to watch these young guys, because they work really, really hard to be out there. So
yeah, but how about more than 125 times? Yeah. I mean,
I agree.
I never heard Mike Hargrove or Charlie Manuel say, "Yeah, Jim Tomei needs a day off."
Jim, Bruce thinks load management is a load of something.
It's kind of hard to watch really great athletes, as you say, guys that can really play, and then you see they're missing 35 or 40 games a year. I don't get it.
Well, and that's got to come from each player. You know that. Like, you got to want to play every day. And if you don't want to play every day, then for me, I think the game passes you by quickly if you have that mentality. Because, you know, there are guys out there working to, you know, to take your job and to want to be an everyday major league player. And that's the goal, is to teach it and to make sure they have that mentality. That's for sure. And that comes from within the organization to teach that.
So I wanted to get your thoughts on Andrew Vaughn. There was a great video the Sox put out on their social media feeds about Andrew Vaughn talking to Paul Konerko about hitting and hitting home runs. And I think Andrew Vaughn, you know, Jim, when he was a third overall pick a couple of years ago with the draft, high expectations, and he has shown signs of being that guy, and he certainly has the swing and he has all the tools. Where is he, as in your mind, in terms of what he can accomplish, how close he has come to his potential? Because season four for Andrew Vaughn is a big one on the South side.
Yes, I agree. And I think when you watch him every day, he's very consistent with his work. He's a polished hitter. I think the last thing you can do is try to hit home runs. I think all home run hitters, if you watch them, have become hitters first. And then all of a sudden you look up and you go, okay, every year you keep advancing, you keep getting a little better, but you gain knowledge through experience of being a good hitter. Andrew Vaughn from day one has always been a really, really good hitter. And I think as he progresses through his career, you're going to see the growth and the maturity. And it's for me, what it was learning how to hit and count, how to hit the ball out front. And when I wasn't in a hitter's count, if the ball got a little deeper on me, I was fortunate that, you know, that I could hit the ball the other way. And I think that's what we will see from Vaughn. Is we can't go say, hey, try to hit home runs. Just let's let him be the hitter he is, and then watch the maturity of him being as talented as he is. Because if you watch him, guys, balance-wise, where he's at, like he is a high-level, you know, hitter that we really like a lot.
Jimmy, to me, watching guys consistently hit long home runs is still the most miraculous thing in sports for me, period. You did it better than 99% of the guys that have ever tried. And I remember sitting with my daughter at the All-Star game in Colorado in 1997, watching you hit one about 580 feet. What is exciting to you about a long home run, consistency in hitting a home run? And what was the longest home run you ever hit? We're not going to count that one that they said
Probably
feet.
Bruce, that one, I would say that one. There was one in Cleveland, and then there was one in Toronto. But, man, there's no better feeling. I think once you learn, and I'll go back to Charlie, because you know how much I will always speak of the Charlie Manuel. It was learning how to hit from the backside and pushing from your backside, but not diving forward so much that you came off of, you know, what the ultimate goal was, to use your strength, and that was to push from the, and when you accomplished that, you know, and then you started to think about it more, like, how did I do that? What happened? And then it was trying to master that feel, which did not happen a whole lot. You had to try to find it. And when you found it, it's how long can you keep it? Such an amazing feeling. And that's what's fun, you know, about being in the game and around it, is no matter how many spring trainings you come to, you always go back to your playing days and all the fun things that you did. And that's the joy as we get ready to start this season is, you know, like, we're all hopeful, we're all excited, and it's just such a great thing to be around it.
Jim, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's always a pleasure to talk baseball with you. You're always generous, so best of luck in all the jobs you're doing, especially the one as dad, as you watch your son Landon start another season.
Thanks, guys.
Jim Thome, special assistant to the general manager for the Chicago White Sox. You remember that home run? How far was that in your book?
The one in center field against Minnesota?
How far? 500?
I would say it was 510, 515.
Have you ever seen a home run any further than
that? No, not at that ballpark. Kingman's home run in
Dave Kingman, yeah.
In 79 against Philadelphia.
Wasn't there a story about Jim Thome driving over with his dad from Peoria getting Dave Kingman's autograph?
Oh, it's a better story than that. So the story is that they get box seats and they drive in, and batting practice is happening. And Thome is, I think, 11 or 12.
So he's only about 6'3".
Yeah, not quite the size he is now or was as a player. And Kingman walks by. He goes into the dugout. Tommy's father looks at his kid, and he's gone. He jumped over the railing, the brick walls, and ran into the dugout to talk to Dave Kingman.
I didn't know that part of it.
Yeah.
That's great.
And they didn't throw him out. They took him out of there. They were able to stay for the game. But he said he just couldn't resist looking at the, you know, this home run hitter that he thought he would be like. And certainly there were a lot of parallels to them because they were, I mean, Thome was a better all-around hitter, but Kingman was no joke, okay?
And didn't necessarily Kingman, like jokes either.
Kingman, going in the Wayback Machine for a minute, which everybody hates, was blackballed from baseball after hitting 35 home runs in 1986 and couldn't find a job. Now, can you imagine 94 RBIs, 35 home runs?
Why was that? Personality? Because he was kind of hard to get along with, based on reputation.
Batting average was like 204. Yeah.
Strikeout or homer?
I mean, it had lowered. But again, maybe he had worn out his welcome. But can you imagine 35 and 94 being passed up?
No.
At this point?
Not unless he was Scott Boras' client.
He was a legit 500 homer guy. He ended up with 442, but he had two more years left in him.
I love your King Kong references and memories, Bruce. Dave Kingman, good old number 10 for the Cubs, right?
Fay Wray was fantastic.
When we come back, Craig Counsell had some very interesting things to say earlier this week about why we make such a big deal about everyday lineups. We'll talk about it next inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind in the count, he struggles. And he drives this one in the air. Left field, Ortega back, and he'll watch it go. A home run for Christopher Morel. And just like that, it is 2-0. Right into bleacher Jeff's world.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Thank you to Marquee for that highlight. Boog Shambi, Christopher Morel, a home run. And Christopher Morel gets a lot of attention because he's locked in at third base. Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, David Haw, Bruce Levine, until 11. Bruce, That, to me, was an interesting move this spring, decision to lock him in, Morrell, that is, at third base, and to see what you've got. He struggled this week defensively. But it all pertains to what's the Cubs lineup going to be? What's their starting lineup going to be in opening day? Who fits where and how many at-bats are they going to get at that position? What did you think about the premature, not name premature, they wanted to get ahead of it, the preemptive move by Craig Counsell maybe to get Christopher Morrell in at third base to answer the question maybe before it's asked, what is his true position?
You can always be a DH later, David. I think that's the answer. There's no reason why a 25-year-old guy who is athletic. Now, again, let's talk a little bit about what's athletic. He can run fast, okay. He looks like he's physically fit. He swings the bat with and generates more power and bat speed than most. He's going to hit 25 to 40 home runs every year during his career. But does athletic mean that you have baseball skills to run the bases properly, to defend, to throw? So far, there's no proof of that for Christopher Morrell. Is it the Cubs' fault that they didn't put him at one position and allow him to hone his skills there? We heard for so long, oh, he can play anywhere. BS. That's not true. That's just...
He has played everywhere, though.
You can't say everybody...
He has.
And not well.
He's hit well despite moving around.
But you have to be able to defend. Why were the Cubs better last year? For a number of reasons, but number one, they were a really good defensive team that didn't allow their pitchers to have to get the fourth and the fifth out, okay? And you have to have good skills. You can get away with it at third base a little bit, but you can't put up with 25 or 30 errors at third base. So I'm optimistic he can be better, but I'm not optimistic that the hands that I've seen, that the throws that he makes, isn't going to take a long time to get better.
Okay. I am very curious how this evolves, and I'm wondering how much mixing and matching there will be with the lineups, because every time that Christopher Morrell isn't at third base, you wonder who will be, and I wonder about the reaction from media covering the team, from fans watching and listening at home.
It won't be Nick Madrigal.
It won't be?
No, it won't. And he's got the hit tool. He made himself into a good third baseman. He can't stay on the field.
He can't
stay on the field.
He's got the hamstring issue. That's really a nagging.
The poor guy, it happens to him every 2 weeks, okay? And he just can't do anything about it. So you can't consistently say he's going to be there. Wisdom, I don't know if you smirked when you said that or not. What you've seen is what you get. He's a 25 home run hitter against left-handed pitching. He's going to strike out 40% of the time.
So it's in that context that whoever plays third base, if it's not Christopher Morrell, even it is, there's going to be some reaction. The lineup debate on a daily basis is part of the fun of Major League Baseball. Craig Counsell basically told us earlier this week that there's not that big of a deal in who's up in the lineup. I was surprised to hear him address the lineup this way.
I think it's important who's in the lineup, really important who's in the lineup. The order of it, we can't create sequences of offense. That's the players have the best thing we can do is just go have great at-bats as players, and that's what creates offense. But like figuring out how who's going to do what in a sequence, we don't know that. And so just getting your best hitters at bats and getting your best hitters the most at bats is the one thing that the lineup really dictates. And the rest is just hitters. Our hitters got to go up and have good at bats sequentially, and that's what produces offense.
Sounds like batting order, it doesn't really matter?
It's such a modern manager speak that we just heard. We can't predict what the outcomes are going to be. If you have a leadoff man that gets on base, okay, if you have a number two hitter that hits and can control the bat and use the bat to hit it to the other direction when needed, you can control outcome. You can. But what he is saying, which is true, I'm not arguing with him, is that there's not enough of those guys to go around, okay? There's not enough. How many years did the Cubs try to find a leadoff man? Okay. Now, everywhere you go, 28, 29, 30 teams, they can't find a leadoff man. So now they say, okay, we're going to have our best hitters, 1 through 4, 1 through 5, and we'll line them up anyway.
Get them the most at bats.
Yeah, get them the most at bats. So that came along the last 10 years, right?
That's new.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we saw it a lot with Madden. It was like, I don't care if we have Fowler or not. I'm going to have Rizzo batting second or
hey,
Bryant
Schwarber,
batting
you're
second.
Leading off. Yeah. Great idea, Joe.
Well, guess what? He's still leading off, and that team's going pretty
deep.
So
Madden was ahead of his time.
No, he's still not a leadoff hitter.
He's not.
But he hits 45 home runs.
That's new baseball. That's new
MLB. He drives in 100, and he hits 180. I was looking up how bad his batting average was the other day, and it's down to 214 lifetime. It's pretty low.
But he's a legend in two cities. Kyle Schwarber, maybe that's overstating it. He is definitely a guy who has iconic status in Chicago and Philadelphia. And he's a 214 career hitter.
Yeah.
Because he can hit the ball to the moon.
Again, Dave Kingman out of the game for hitting 214.
So I want to ask you this, Bruce, because I think it's a broader issue too, because you look at how Craig Counsell answered that question the other day on the Mullin Haw show about lineups. And we heard him yesterday talk about roles in the bullpen, and all he cares about are getting out. And it is modern day MLB. And I just wonder, you look at the other side of town in, with the White Sox and Pedro Grifol and his impact on this spring training. We're getting used to Craig Counsell. We kind of know what Pedro Grifol is. How would you assess the impact both those managers are having on the respective spring trainings? And how that will lead into what to expect from this season?
Minimal impact from both in spring training. Done intentionally, I believe, to not assert themselves, but to evaluate what they have. And the similarity between the two, David, is they're both evaluating new players for the first time. So it's really not a good idea to give too many Newt Rockne speeches, maybe if that's too old. Maybe we can talk about Vince Lombardi.
That's still pretty old,
okay.
Bruce.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Whatever you remember from great motivators.
How about Nick Saban?
Yeah, Nick Saban would be fine.
There we
but
go.
He's annoying. When you look at these teams.
Hold on. He's not annoying. He's the most successful football coach who ever lived. Why is he annoying?
Because he thinks he invented the game of football.
Okay. Well, that's another show. We digress. Okay. Go back to your
point.
Asked. I know. I needed
answered.
To know. I would have spent the rest of the day wondering why Bruce hates Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Tom Landry and Lombardi. And
back to baseball,
and Ditka,
Bruce.
And Ditka, for more modern reference, didn't believe they invented football. Anyway, when you're looking at these guys right now, they're getting to know their players and their capabilities. They're asserting themselves. I mean, I watched them both for the time I was in spring training, walking around, talking to guys, getting to know them, gaining trust. That's number one. I mean, Grifol might have been there last year, but how many new players? Does he have 20 new players? He's got a lot. So it's like a new team again, a second year in a row. There's nothing earned from Grifol last year to manage that team and go.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean,
this is like his second first season.
Right.
The second first date.
And I think,
if you will,
Counsell's so intelligent about the game of baseball that he knows no matter who he is or what the accomplishments were, he's got to earn their respect.
So,
he's got to communicate and get to know these players.
Last point on this before we break, because it's interesting. Do you think that Craig Counsell then is editing himself and making sure or being very careful not to come on too strong, you're suggesting. So he doesn't necessarily want everyone to say, new guy in town, my way or the highway. He's not that kind of leader.
It's a dangerous game, David, as we saw Tony La Russa play it when he came in and said, hey, these guys have already done a lot. I have to fit in with them.
Yeah.
You know what? He might as well have turned around and walked out at that point because they heard that. They heard that time and again, and they said, great. We don't have to do anything for this manager.
Right.
We don't have to adhere to what he says. We're already a good team. We don't need him. Manager doesn't count. Well, manager does count. And Counsell cannot get into that line. I don't think he will. I think I think he has earned enough and he's smart enough to be able to fit in and start asserting himself. And you'll see it, you know, when you send Pete Crow Armstrong to the minor leagues right away, and you'll see him assert himself with the lineups and saying, yes, you're going to play third base. You're no longer a DH.
How big of a deal is it that he's replacing a manager that was pretty popular in the clubhouse, and it's essentially the same core of players coming back?
You'd be surprised how unimportant that is.
Okay. That's interesting. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you see that all the time in all sports. People say, well, you know, the dynamic between that coach and that player, that manager and that team.
You'd be really shocked as to how unimportant it is to be popular. Respected is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Popular is about as good for a player going into August or September of saying that so-and-so isn't playing me any day, and how do I get back in there? You know, he doesn't like me. So there's a lot of that that goes on in sports that people probably just don't know enough about.
That's really interesting.
And I would say, you know, the idea that these guys go out to dinner with everybody and they're buddy-buddy every day, that's not really as prevalent as anybody might think.
Yeah, I mean, you know who was unpopular but successful? Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Well, you come back.
Mike Ditka.
I'll ask Bruce about some starting pitching developments that have some local connections and also a local guy in the Sox who I want to know what he thinks. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Final segment inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Kirilloff at first, pitch number 60 already for Gio today. And he gets strike three, a fastball above the zone. Three strikeouts in the inning for Giolito and a shutout through three.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Got to let you know about this great giveaway. The 670 Score is sponsoring, giving you and a guest an exclusive opportunity to be in Texas for the Cubs season opener. Be listening to for the cue to call Mullen Hall, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkinson, Spiegel every single day next week for your chance to qualify for the Cubs season opener flyaway, which includes airfare, hotel, two tickets to the game March 28th in Texas, Cubs and Rangers. Once you qualify, you'll need to be listening to the Parkinson Spiegel Show when they announce the winner, 5 o'clock Friday. That's next Friday. The winner then will have 30 minutes to call in and claim the grand prize. Cubs season opener, fly away exclusively right here on 670 The Score. Okay, Bruce, that was Lucas Giolito. And obviously bad news this week. He could be missing the year. He's got an injured elbow, I believe.
Poor guy.
Just terrible.
Only $38 million to sit it out the next 2 years.
I know, but you feel bad for a guy that served the Sox well. That is true. He is.
I don't feel bad for the Boston Red Sox.
They paid knowing that or fearing?
No, they didn't. They didn't know that.
Or they and paid I knowing love that Lucas. Was possible.
Lucas was is possible. A terrific guy. Yeah. Every penny he earns, good for him. But why would you have to give him 2 years?
I don't know. I guess that was
what
the classic
what
overpay.
The recent resume told Craig Kimbrell that 2 years was the right amount. It's easy for me to second guess now.
You look at Giolito with the arm issues in Boston. You look at Carlos Rodon with the big money deal with the Yankees, not off to a good start, and he had his own arm issues there. And I do wonder, you look at the Dylan Cease situation. Do you see a connection? The White Sox reluctance to go long-term with Dylan Cease and
I don't think there's a reluctance. Where do you detect a reluctance?
Jerry Reinsdorf does not sign long-term contracts with pitchers.
But he's 2 years away. Do you think, as Scott Boras, if Cease is operating at a high level, is going to allow him an extension with the Chicago White Sox?
You saw Zach Wheeler sign an extension with the Phillies as a long-term deal.
He wasn't a Boras agent.
I know, but my point would be, if you're the Sox, do you look at two guys that were very good pitchers for you ending up with arm injuries, guys you avoided signing long-term contracts with, as more ammunition to support your idea?
Jerry is 90% right when it comes to pitching. Long-term deals do not work out, okay? They just don't. So, look. Do you have to? I mean, the idea that Wheeler at age, what is he going to be? 36 when this starts? To earn $42 million a year for three more years? It's ridiculous. You know, why would you have to do that? Is he a $42 million pitcher? He's a good pitcher. White Sox thought they had him, and his wife decided, no, we have to live on the East Coast. They offered him more money.
Interesting. It's a conversation I want to pick up next week because it relates to the Garrett Crochet handling and what you think is ahead for Garrett Crochet as he becomes a starter. But, Bruce, we do have, just real quick before we get out of here, we have breaking news. And breaking news on 670 The Score presented by BetQL Smarter Bets. Start with BetQL. Craig Council made it official. Justin Steele is the opening day starter for your Chicago Cubs.
There would be an investigation if he wasn't, right? I mean, he has certainly earned that. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm excited to watch him a second year in a row. I really love watching him pitch because he doesn't overpower people, yet he comes in on the hands of right-handed hitters as a left-hander and just challenges them, and they don't get good swings off of him most of the time.
That was not a surprise. You're exactly right. Put very well, Bruce. We have some people to thank. This was a great show. It's great having you in person. This is great being in studio. Everyone together. Thank you, Robbie Triano. Great producer behind the glass. Bruce, great job getting the guests, Dustin Kelly and Jim Thome.
Always fun, David. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. On our website, 670thescore.com, where I write about Cubs and Sox all week long. David, have a great week.
Steve Rosenblum is next. Stay right here on 670 The Score. Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse. Talk to you Monday morning, Mullinghaw at 5:30. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kirilloff at first, pitch number 60 already for Gio today, and he gets strike three, a fastball above the zone, three strikeouts in the inning for Giolito, and a shutout through three.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Got to let you know about this great giveaway. The 670 Score is sponsoring, giving you and a guest an exclusive opportunity to be in Texas for the Cubs season opener. Be listening to for the cue to call Mullinghaw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkinson, Spiegel every single day next week for your chance to qualify for the Cubs season opener flyaway, which includes airfare, hotel, two tickets to the game March 28th in Texas, Cubs and Rangers. Once you qualify, you'll need to be listening to the Parkinson Spiegel Show when they announce the winner, 5 o'clock Friday. That's next Friday. The winner then will have 30 minutes to call in and claim the grand prize. Cubs season opener, fly away exclusively right here on 670 The Score. Okay, Bruce, that was Lucas Giolito. And obviously bad news this week. He could be missing the year. He's got an injured elbow, I believe.
Poor guy.
Just terrible.
Only $38 million to sit it out the next 2 years.
I know, but you feel bad for a guy that served the Sox well. That is true. He is.
I don't feel bad for the Boston Red Sox.
They paid knowing that or fearing?
No, they didn't. They didn't know that.
Or they and paid I knowing that Lucas. Was possible.
Lucas is possible. A terrific guy. Yeah. Every penny he earns, good for him. But why would you have to give him 2 years?
I don't know. I guess that was
what
the classic
what
overpay.
The recent resume told Craig Kimbrell that 2 years was the right amount. It's easy for me to second guess now.
You look at Giolito with the arm issues in Boston. You look at Carlos Rodon with the big money deal with the Yankees, not off to a good start, and he had his own arm issues there. And I do wonder, you look at the Dylan Cease situation. Do you see a connection, the White Sox reluctance to go long-term with Dylan Cease? And
I don't think there's a reluctance. Where do you detect a reluctance?
Jerry Reinsdorf does not sign long-term contracts with pitchers.
But he's 2 years away. Do you think, as Scott Boras, if Cease is operating at a high level, is going to allow him an extension with the Chicago White Sox?
You saw Zach Wheeler sign an extension with the Phillies as a long-term deal.
Wasn't a Boras agent.
I know, but my point would be, if you're the Sox, do you look at two guys that were very good pitchers for you ending up with arm injuries, guys you avoided signing long-term contracts with, as more ammunition to support your idea?
Jerry is 90% right when it comes to pitching. Long-term deals do not work out, okay? They just don't. So, look, do you have to – I mean, the idea that Wheeler at age, what is he going to be? 36 when this starts? To earn $42 million a year for three more years? It's ridiculous. You know, why would you have to do that? Is he a $42 million pitcher? He's a good pitcher. White Sox thought they had him, and his wife decided, no, we have to live on the East Coast. They offered him more money.
Interesting. It's a conversation I want to pick up next week because it relates to the Garrett Crochet handling and what you think is ahead for Garrett Crochet as he becomes a starter. But, Bruce, we do have, just real quick before we get out of here, we have breaking news. And breaking news on 670 The Score presented by BetQL Smarter Bets. Start with BetQL. Craig Council made it official. Justin Steele is the opening day starter for your Chicago Cubs.
There would be an investigation if he wasn't, right? I mean, he has certainly earned that. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm excited to watch him a second year in a row. I really love watching him pitch because he doesn't overpower people, yet he comes in on the hands of right-handed hitters as a left-hander and just challenges them. And they don't get good swings off of them most of the time.
That was not a surprise. You're exactly right. Put very well, Bruce. We have some people to thank. This was a great show. It's great having you in person. This is great being in studio. Everyone together. Thank you, Robbie Triano. Great producer behind the glass. Bruce, great job getting the guests, Dustin Kelly and Jim Thome.
Always fun, David. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. On our website, 670thescore.com, where I write about Cubs and Sox all week long. David, have a great week.
Steve Rosenblum is next. Stay right here on 670 The Score. Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse. Talk to you Monday morning, Mullinghaw at 5:30. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.